Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
Again, we greet you in the name of the Lord. We pray that you are seeking to learn of the Lord and to know His faithfulness and to learn that the Lord is our very present help and that we can trust Him in every situation. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 5, the Lord said in verse 22, "Fear ye not me, saith the Lord? Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet they not pass over it. So the sand has been put on the seashores to keep the sea within those boundaries." And you go there and you wonder about all the sand along the seashores. The Lord has put it there. He has put that sand there, and you would think that it would all be washed away and go back out to sea. But the Lord put the sand along the seashore as a boundary, as a fence around the oceans, as a fence around the seas. That's what God did. How would you like to be charged with putting a fence around the oceans? You'd have a lot to do, wouldn't you? But not only does the Lord put the sands of the sea around the sea as a boundary for the sea, but He uses little bitty pieces. Now, if we were going to do something like that, we'd say, I need big rocks, a lot of them. And how long do you suppose it would take? Many of the fresh waterways that we have here where men will fish in rivers and fish in lakes, we'll talk about how many miles of seashore or of lakeshore there are, how many miles and square miles and so on and so forth. But the Lord has put the sand around the sea as a fence for it. That's in Jeremiah 5:22. He has set a bound for the sea by the sand, and that as a perpetual decree. Now, in the new heaven and the new earth, there will be no more sea. All of that is going to be taken away. There was a sea and a dry land in the beginning. The Lord made the sea and the dry land. Now, there's a lot of water there. The Lord will do something with it when this earth is going to be purged by fire. He'll do something with that water, and the beauty of the earth will be restored. And what will He do? How will He restore the vegetation and the plants? That's not my problem. That's not your problem either, is it? It's not an easy matter to address, but it's something that the Lord will do to study this great truth that the Lord put a boundary around the sea. And you know, we have ocean surges because of earthquakes underneath the ocean. Great tidal waves, tsunamis, things sometimes being 500 feet high, rolling across the sea. And underneath the sea, it is said these things will travel at fast rates of speed. Great deep under the ocean, huge waves. And as the water becomes shallow, the waves rise high. And they move inland at a very rapid pace and then fall on the ground and rush back out to sea and stay there in that boundary. Again, they attack the shores and go back, retreat, attack again, retreat. And that's because the Lord has set the sand. Now, the Christian can experience problems, but these problems will retreat because the Lord is with us. He's in us. And these things that are formed cannot prevail against us. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this little illustration from Thy Word. We thank Thee for this great truth from Thy Word. We ask for Thy blessings today and for Thy power, that we shall be faithful in declaring Christ our Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's go back to the book of Genesis chapter 27 and look again at the life of a man who now has realized that he has made a very bad choice. And that choice was one that would give him temporal satisfaction, but provide no lasting blessing. And Isaac is the man who was to bestow the blessing upon the firstborn, but the Lord had said that the elder shall serve the younger. And Rebekah had manipulated the situation so that the younger son would receive the blessing instead of the older son. And now the older son has realized what has taken place, and he is out to kill his, he's going to plan to kill his younger brother for what he has done. And the blessing or the pronouncement of a blessing upon this man is given in verse 40, and by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. Now notice again, Isaac, in the process of blessing Esau, tells Esau that Esau is going to serve his brother. Now this, of course, was going to make matters even worse, but Isaac is now speaking the mouth and the mind of God, the word of God. He cannot but say the truth. There is no other option for him to speak other than what God would have him to speak. And by thy word thou shalt live, and thou shalt serve thy brother, and it shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. So he tells him by this that there is going to be some prosperity. There is going to be some liberty, some liberation and deliverance for him. Verse 41, the natural response, the natural man. And Esau hated Jacob, and he feels that he has a reason. And the scriptures say he hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. Now notice the next step from hatred. When you have hatred for someone, what then do you do next? Do you say, okay, I have hatred for them, and I'll just let it go at that? But no, actually, whenever you have hatred for someone, you try to kill it. Like, for example, how many of you hate snakes? And when you see a snake, do you say, there's a snake, I hate it, but no problem, let it go? If it gets close to you, you'll try to kill it or get away from it. You don't want to be around it. Well, here Esau hates Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father had blessed him. And the next step is to kill that which one hates. And Esau said in his heart, see, that's where hatred was. It was in his heart. Now he is carrying on this conversation. He's depositing a plan. It's going to be a plan that's going to like age and ferment and foam and fume and going to come back worse than what it was when it was placed in this reservoir. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand, and then will I slay my brother Jacob. He said this in his heart. And the words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. So he had told his friends what his plan was. You know, the people who stand to benefit by a decision you make, and if someone interferes with that plan to benefit you because of a friend of yours who is going to bestow blessings upon you, should they be blessed, they'll quickly join with you and help you fight against the one. So the word gets back to Rebekah, and she sent and called Jacob, her younger son. I wonder, did the mother talk with him at all? Did the mother talk with Esau at all? Did the word get to Esau? Esau, your mother was behind all of that. I watched her. I heard her. What would Esau have done? What would Esau have said about his mother had he known this was the case? Behold, thy brother Esau is touching thee, doth comfort himself, proposing to kill thee. See, all this had gotten around. She is telling now Jacob, listen, your brother is out to kill you. I wonder, did he say, I don't know why, I never did him anything wrong. Many times people do respond like that. They know they've done someone wrong. They know that they've done something to make someone upset with them. They've been selfish and greedy, and then they pretend they don't understand why or how they could have hurt someone. Do this all the time with we have people will say, "Well, I don't, if I hurt you, if I said something to offend you, if I, well, what would make you think, what would make you say if I?" You know that you've done something wrong, and don't pretend that you don't know. Verse 43, the mother still is in charge, and she's still going to work the situation. "Now therefore, my son," she's talking to Jacob, "obey my voice and arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away." Now notice, she says, go away for just a few days till your brother gets over his anger. And when that has subsided, apparently she knew his disposition. He could get angry and promise things and be ready to fly off the handle, ready to kill the world. Then after a while, he would cool down. She knew that he was like that. Or else he wouldn't have said, until your brother's fury turn away. Had he been one who would pursue something to the end and attain a level of hatred and remain there, she wouldn't have said, until your brother's fury return away. But she says just a few days. "Until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done unto him." See, she knew what temperament this fellow was. He was hungry, feed him. He's angry, he's mad about something, give him a drink of water or tell him he'll be all right. This is what she knew about her son. "Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day?" So apparently by the fact that she knew she would lose this one, that he had found out that she was behind the plan for him to manipulate the father and to steal the blessing, and that she would lose him as far as there being a gap, a bridge, a wall being built between them. You know, a person offended like that, you know that you've done something and you've lost them. And this mother knew she had done something, and she was willing to send this one away from her, even though it meant she wouldn't be with him, wouldn't see him. But she was just still saying, for a little while, and I'll send for you later. And that was her plan. "And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me?" So she had a plan, and she made it sound very spiritually. She gave a legitimate concern. Our sons are going to need wives, or this son at least will need a wife, and send him back. It sounds good. Okay, that's what I'll do. Never mind that she had been behind the plan to bring on this whole situation that caused this division, but she does put together something that sounds good. Isn't that the way it's done? When someone has done something wrong, they want to put a spiritual slant on it and make it look good. Politicians do this all the time when they've got a second agenda. Heavenly Father, help us to be wise, and Lord, help us to be obedient and faithful, we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Join us again for another program of Light for the Pathway. I'm Willie Thompson in Greenville, South Carolina, at 920 Wade Hampton Boulevard, zip code 29609. May the Lord bless you.